Hello and welcome to another eerie episode of Cryptids, Folklore, or More, a podcast where we determine whether cryptids are purely folklore or more. This episode also represents a milestone in our output here, as it's the 10th episode, so we've officially reached double digits, baby. Therefore, let's talk about a large topic within cryptozoology, that being stories of lake monster cryptids. And when I say that, I'm sure the Loch Ness Monster is likely the first thing most people's minds go to when thinking of lake cryptids, but there are actually so many more, actually a ridiculous amount more. And we are here in this episode today to talk about Nessie and the lake cryptid phenomenon. Why are there so many lake cryptids? And does there being so many negate the possibility of these tales being true? Join us in this episode as we dive into the world of Nessie and the Lake Monsters. Would be a cool band name. While an exact number of how many lake cryptids exist worldwide is hard to track down, according to the book Cryptozoology A to Z by cryptozoologist Lauren Coleman and Jerome Clark, published in 1999, quote, more than 300 lakes around the world harbor large unknown animals unrecognized by conventional zoology, unquote. It might be an even higher amount in the modern day. Lakes present an interesting habitat for these aquatic cryptids. Lakes, by definition, are a large inland body of standing water and as a result present imaginable boundaries on the cryptid's location. It should be noted that not all lakes are connected to the ocean by rivers, so the possibility for these cryptids to move between the two bodies of water isn't possible in all cases. The vast majority of lakes worldwide contain fresh water and can vary heavily in size, with the world's largest lake being considered the Caspian Sea at a whopping 386,000 square kilometers, and the smallest lake being considered the Bengsi Lake located in China, being only a measly 15 square meters. Is it realistic for lake cryptids to stay hidden within such bodies of water for so long? And why does it seem like just about any lake has a story of a monster attached to it? Well, like I said earlier, in this episode, we will be covering the case of the Loch Ness Monster and the mythos surrounding it. The Loch Ness Monster is without a doubt one of the most iconic and OG of all cryptids. The Loch Ness Monster, which most likely needs no introduction for most listeners, is a large creature typically depicted as a large, green, long-necked, humped plesiosaur, said to inhabit Loch Ness. Loch Ness is the second largest lake in Scotland, covering an area of 56 square kilometers. Geographically, Loch Ness is a natural freshwater lake, 16 meters above sea level, and is connected to numerous rivers. Due to Nessie fever, Nessie being the nickname given to this cryptid to anyone unaware, the lake and surrounding local area get an estimated 1 million visitors per year who hope to catch a glimpse of the creature. I've never been there myself, but hope to one day in the future due to its significance to the topic of cryptozoology. With so many visitors a year, one has to wonder why we have yet to capture a convincing photograph or video of the creature, especially in the modern era where everyone has a phone camera on them. Throughout the decades, there have been various expeditions by researchers to the lake that haven't been able to dig up conclusive evidence of the creature yet. But does this mean it doesn't exist, though? When researching cryptids, I always like to look back at the earliest recorded sightings of them. And the first for the Loch Ness Monster supposedly comes from the 6th century, sourced from an account by Irish priest and later saint, Saint Columba, who visited the area in August of 564 as a Christian missionary. In his story, Columba needed to cross the lake, but had an issue. The nearest boat was moored on the opposite side of the shore Columba found himself on. Not prepared to let this deter him, one of his monks would get into the water to swim across and get the boat. While making the swim across, however, something unexpected would occur, according to the account. Suddenly, a monstrous creature would surface, seemingly attracted to the splashing noises coming from the monk. The creature would let off a frightening roar and start racing in the direction of the swimming man, looking eager to turn him into a meal. Limited by his position overlooking this nightmare scenario, Columba would have no choice but to pray for divine intervention against the monster. He would ask the Almighty to not allow the creature to touch the man and to leave the area. Surprisingly, this would prove effective, as the creature would end up halting its pursuit and fleeing to the depths below. Quite the story and miraculous conclusion for Saint Columba, who purportedly performed quite a few miracles throughout his lifetime, leading to his sainthood. The far back date of this story shows how long lake monsters have been a part of the human imagination, or reality, but skeptics also point out to the possibility that embellishment in the account could have occurred, seeing as it wasn't written until 100 years later in a biography, not autobiography, that was written on the life of Saint Columba. Who knows, perhaps the reason we have yet to capture definitive proof of the Loch Ness Monster is due to Saint Columba's prayer being maybe a little too effective. Despite the existence of this far back account describing a large creature within Loch Ness, it wouldn't be until the early 20th century where the legend would really see significant growth and become a lot more famous. In 1933 alone, there would be several notable sightings by individuals around the lake describing a large creature swimming in the water. Then a year later, in 1934, the infamous surgeon's photograph would be published, being what seemed at the time and today the wet dream for those interested in Nessie and cryptozoology. A black and white photo that seemingly showed a fairly clear silhouette of a long-necked creature sticking its head above the water of the loch. The picture would make waves when it would be published in the Daily Mail on April 21, 1934, cementing itself as the definitive image of the creature, and for decades would be seen as an interesting piece of evidence for the creature's existence. That is, however, until decades later, when it would be proven to be a hoax involving a simple handmade prop designed to float on the water. That hasn't slowed down the sightings, though. According to the website for the official Loch Ness Monster Sightings Register, there have been 1,157 official sightings of the creature to date. The website is fun, since it also posts images of webcam sightings from the viewable cameras posted around the area. According to the site, there have been 10 webcam sightings since 2021, and there are viewable screenshots for some of them posted. They are fuzzy, and from a distance, I'm sure skeptics will quickly jump to them being of logs or pareidolia, but it's interesting nonetheless. I did go on the site myself and watch the cameras for a little bit. They are 360p. I do feel like they should upgrade them to a more modern resolution, at least 1080p. With so many recorded sightings, what evidence is there for and against the existence of the Loch Ness Monster? Due to the fame of Nessie, I don't think there is anyone out there, believer or not, who wouldn't be filled with excitement if one day Nessie was found, but we must remain objective about the possibility for the time being. Starting with the pro-Nessie side, clearly lots of anecdotal evidence exists, with the 1,000 plus sightings as of this time, and the blurry captures that exist showing dark shapes on the surface of the lake. But like many cryptid tales, this is where much of the evidence stops, but it also really depends on how one views the creature. The near universal image most people have of the Loch Ness Monster would most likely be the idea of a soul plesiosaur residing in and swimming around the lake. Nessie is never reported as land-dwelling, which would fit the plesiosaur label, as they were creatures that were incapable of navigating solid land. Personally, I find it difficult to subscribe to this belief, as there's various factors that work against this idea. Plesiosaurs are an extinct Mesozoic marine reptile. If Nessie was some kind of descendant of a plesiosaur, one would assume its DNA would show up as that of a reptile. In 2019, researchers from the University of Otago in New Zealand did a study at Loch Ness collecting water samples to try to catalog all living species in the loch. From the samples, the researchers were able to conclude that no evidence was found of any giant marine reptile in the waters of Loch Ness. So, is Nessie possibly some other kind of creature, and this is just a case of mistaken identity? This is a theory that many would subscribe to, and what I would lean towards myself to explain the nature of the Loch Ness monster. I wouldn't say that there's outright nothing in the lake due to the sheer number of sightings that have been reported by people around the lake over the years. Other creatures ruled out in this study would be giant sharks, catfish, and even sturgeon, as their DNA was not present in the samples. Giant sturgeon are a popular pick to try to explain many lake monster cases worldwide. If you've seen giant sturgeon in person or in photos, you would know they can grow to absolutely massive sizes, being capable of reaching lengths up to 20 feet. If none of these explain the Loch Ness monster sightings, what would? Well, researchers point to oversized eels as a potential culprit, actually, as a sizable amount of eel DNA has been found within Loch Ness. It's a possibility, but it can't be said for sure, and the likelihood of having a giant eel sighting is fairly low. Despite not having uncovered definitive proof in the almost 100 years since the taking of the surgeon's photograph and the first modern sightings of the elusive water beast in the 1930s, on top of the fact that many researchers have been quick to dismiss the idea of Nessie being the sole plesiosaur roaming the lake, Nessie has left an indelible mark. Perhaps that's the reason why people seem to report lake cryptids in so many places, such as Champ in America, which is said to inhabit Lake Champlain, and has been dubbed America's Loch Ness Monster. Or what about the story of the Raystown Ray that I came across when researching this episode? This creature has somehow been reported in a man-made lake built only in 1972. Yeah, try to explain that. One could make a whole multi-season series about the phenomenon of lake cryptids alone. There's no doubt the economy of Loch Ness has surely benefited, as the surrounding area has seen positive inflows as a result of fascination and the legend. It's arguably Scotland's largest tourist attraction, and has been estimated by accountant Gary Campbell to be worth around £41 million to Scotland's economy in a 2018 estimate. Can't deny, despite not considering myself a die-hard believer in the legend, I definitely would want to visit one day, like I said earlier, simply because it's so significant to cryptozoology as a whole. The sightings themselves don't seem to be showing any signs of slowing down, even after all this time. But whether these are all the result of genuine cryptid, hoaxes, or mistaken identity, the world may never know. So, that's a look into arguably the most significant cryptid within cryptozoology to date, rivaled only by Bigfoot probably. There's so much to the lore of Nessie that it would probably even warrant a revisit down the line. Like I said, I don't consider myself a hardcore Nessie head and do think it's probably a case of mistaken identity, but if you want to come at me with your own reasonings or sightings or suggestions or criticisms, you are free to email the podcast at cryptidsfolklore@gmail.com. There's also the Instagram page as well with the name of the podcast and the Facebook page that also has the name of the podcast as its name. There is also now a new TikTok page made for updates and also some quick little videos that I plan to make about cryptid facts called Cryptids Folklore or More with no spaces, so consider following. Like always, thanks for listening to our 10th episode, and of course, unlike cryptids, don't stay hidden. Till next time.